Welcome to this inaugural episode of Experience the Rav. I'm Rabbi Avi Boswich. In this episode, I'll be sharing some ideas from Rabbi Soloveitchik about one of the lesser studied biblical personalities, Kayin. The Rav was very taken by Kayin and even commented that if he was younger, he would write a book about Kayin. The Torah in this episode is adapted from a lecture given by Rabbi Soloveitchik on March 3, 1973, entitled Westward. We start with an audio excerpt from the Rav.
You don't know how to read the Tanakh, you understand? This is trouble, yeah? I always say that one, if you want to know whether you understood the Bible or not, you just ask yourself one question. Do you find yourself in the Bible? If you don't find yourself in the Bible, apparently you haven't understood the Bible at all. I mean, I'm not joking, I'm very serious about it. The Ramban says that whoever, the Maimon, who understands the Bible, should find his own name in the Bible. His own, I mean, a reflection of his own image in the Bible.
The Rav said that we have to find ourselves in the Chumash and find personal and contemporary relevance. In this episode, through a close reading of some verses, we'll touch upon the following three key themes. Theme number one, the symbolism of the movement of the sun. Theme number two, human regress and progress. And theme number three, the symbolism of spirituality residing in the West. That's number one, the symbolism of movement of the sun. Number two, human regress and progress. And number three, the symbolism of spirituality residing in the West. Let's start with a recap of Kayin's story, which you're all familiar with. Kayin, of course, gives sacrifices. Hashem does not accept his sacrifice. Kayin is very despondent. Hashem tries to avail and comfort Kayin to no avail. Kayin goes ahead and kills Hevel. God confronts him. Kayin cannot bear the sin, and he is banished by God. Now, our first starting point and launching point will be immediately post the sin, the great Avera, is Kayin's departure from Hashem. And let's take a look right now at the moment that Kayin leaves Hashem. Bereshis Perek Dalad, Pasuk Tet Zayin. Vayetze Kayin milufnei Hashem vayeshev be'eretz nod kidmas Eden. And Kayin went out from the presence of the Lord and lived in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. Now at first glance, it's a very simple verse telling us that Kayin leaves God's presence and he goes to the east of Eden in the land of Nod. Let's look at Rashi on that very verse. Rashi says as follows, kidmas Eden, sham gala aviv kishagoresh migan Eden. There his father was exiled when he was driven out of Gan Eden. And then Rashi says later on, Umatzinu sheruach mizrachit koletes b'chol makom et harotzchim. We find that the easterly direction always offers asylum for murderers. So within this Rashi, Rashi comments on two things in which the East plays a role, one from the past and one from the future. First, looking backwards toward the past, Rashi points out that Kayin is banished from Gan Eden to the east, just like his father Adam HaRishon was. And looking towards the future, Rashi points out that in the future, all criminals will be banished to the east. In particular, unintentional murderers will be sent Mizracha Shemesh, in the direction of the sun to the east. Now to recap, according to Rashi, Kayin was banished east of Gan Eden, which was the same place that his father Adam was banished to, which is also the location that will serve as an Are Miklat in the future. Rashi, of course, gets this idea from the Midrash. The Midrash says, Rav Amar Bechol Makom Ruach Mizrachit Koletes, that in every case, the east affords an asylum. Now the question here is, what is the real insight of this Midrash, and what is Rashi really getting at? So what that Adam and Kayin were both banished to the east? Who particularly cares? The Pasuk could have simply left that out and left out Kidmas Eden because the proximity to Gan Eden seems to be a detail of little consequence. Now, as I hope you'll get to know in these episodes and in this podcast, the Rav's methodology in Chumash was to analyze a pasuk or a phrase in Rashi as he analyzed a sugya or a Rambam, with the fundamental assertion that the text reveals a profound underlying concept and theme, kind of like the Brisker method he used in Gemara. He heavily focused on the semantics of words and the different ways in which words are used throughout Tanakh. Here, for the Rav, the key word in the pasuk is the word kidmas. The Pasuk did not say Mizrach Eden, to the east of Gan Eden. The verse instead says Kidmas Eden, and the Rav points out that the word Kedem in Tanakh is used in two different ways. The first way is as a direction, with a direction of east. For example, in Bereshis, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Vav, at the end of the Pasuk it says, Kedma El Eretz Kedem, which means going to an eastern country. And there are additional examples throughout Tanakh that the Rav quoted. And then you have a second meaning of the word Kedem within Tanakh, which is referring to the ancient past, or long, long ago. For example, in Sefer Devarim, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Tet Vav, Ume Rosh Harare Kedem, Ume Meged Gvaos Olam. For the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills. Now, how do these two meanings help explain our verse? And how are the two meanings connected, that the word Kedem can refer to a direction of east or something in time in the ancient past? According to the Rav, the sun and our perspective on the movement of the sun, is the key to understanding the entire issue. He said, from a human vantage point, we know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So anything east is, from our vantage point, indicative of sunrise, and anything west is indicative of sunset. And from the human vantage point, over the course of the day, the sun moves from the east to the west. In a certain sense, that movement of the sun from the east to the west, or moving westward, is natural progress. Each and every single day, we get to look at the progress of the sun, if you will, going from east to west in a westward direction. And therefore, moving east would be indicative of the unnatural movement of the sun. Imagine if we saw the sun moving from west to east, it would be as if the sun is moving in a regression. So now let's return to Gan Eden. If Gan Eden is over here in the west, then Kidmas Eden, to the east of Gan Eden, means that Adam and Cain are both banished out of Gan Eden from the west to the east. In other words, both of them have a certain regression that is taking place for them because they are being sent in an easterly direction, which is against the natural movement of the sun. In the words of the Rav, and I quote, "Whenever they wanted to cast, what shall I say? A nostalgic glance at the Eden. Many times they looked at the paradise, the home, the promised land. They had to turn their faces towards the west, toward the horizon where the sun sets." In other words, says the Rav, and I quote, "What Rashi wants to say is that man beholds the vision of the paradise, of the promised land, where all his aspirations may come true, whenever he turns towards the west. Not when he turns towards the east, only when he turns towards the west." So the Rav has explained to us that after committing their sins, Adam and Cain had to move backwards and regress. And the key idea here is as follows, that sin causes regression, and sin sends us back in time and space, which is symbolized by the word Kedem. That when we have sinned and we are sent by, metaphorically by God, back eastwardly, just as Cain and Adam were, it sends us back in time, symbolized by moving east. And the purpose of using the word Kidmas Eden is to encapsulate both of these meanings, which teaches us a fundamental principle about sinning, that sin causes a regression and sends us back in time, quote unquote. And the Rav says that this sending back in time was done to both Adam and Cain, giving them both the opportunity to do tshuva, to correct that which was wronged, and create a natural progression. The Rav also went on to say that every single person moves through life, moving westwardly, metaphorically, and mankind as a whole moves back from east to west, metaphorically. And this takes place on an individual level, and at the human level at large, that there is a spiritual journey that each person is taking part in, and all of humanity is taking part in, and that spiritual journey is a movement westward. And he goes on to say that every person has a Garden of Eden, and that all of us at times are thrown backwards, whether it's due to power, money, honor, or other things which lead to sin. But the idea is that the teaching from our rabbis that the Shechina, or the divine glory resides in the West, that our movement towards our own Gan Eden, our own promised land, is a movement westward. And this, says the Rav, helps us understand an idea within Chazal, Shechina b'Ma'ariv, that the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in the West. And this is our understanding, that the Shechina, or the divine glory, resides in the most westernly part. He points out, in fact, if you were to go to the Beis HaMikdash, you enter through the eastern gate, you are progressively moving westward until you get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, which is the westernmost point within the Beis HaMikdash. Because the hierarchy of Kedusha commences at the most eastern point where you enter, the Shaar HaMizrach, and it culminates in the Kodesh Kedoshim. And the reason for this is that the human success march, the triumphal march of humanity, is directed towards west. The march towards paradise is a march going back from Kidmas Eden back to Gan Eden, back towards paradise. And according to the Rav, the fact that man is always wanting more and always trying to achieve and always on a particular march is deeply reflective of a spiritual drive and not just a physical drive. That spiritually, we crave HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we crave the return to the promised land. In his words, and I quote, "This is exactly, this restlessness has resulted in the emergence of human civilization." Says the Rav, if man had never reached out for the paradise, if man were satisfied with conditions which prevailed, if man thought only in terms of today, not in terms of tomorrow, if man were happy with the status quo, there would be no civilization, no culture. The restlessness which God has implanted in man, that exactly the steady march westward in order to capture the vision of paradise, that exactly yielded civilization. And I'll share with you one more from the Rav. And he said, each one has his own goal, but the restlessness, the feeling of homelessness, of longing for a land, for a promised land, is part within the universe where everything is perfect. The perennial quest for the Yom Shekulo Tov, Yom Shekulo Aruch, for the day which is holy, good, and ceaseless, is nothing else, says the Rav, but the drive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man's troubled depths and his craving for paradise is nothing more than the longing and questing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Almighty. And that is an unbelievable assertion that Rabbi Soloveitchik has made, that in our daily frenetic life, and as we go through any profession in which we are trying to advance humanity in some way, that inherently is a quest towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we don't bifurcate the world between Kodesh and Chol, but implanted and infused within the Chol that we're involved in 6 days a week is nothing less than a drive towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To recap the three major ideas of this episode. First, the symbolism of the movement of the sun. We said that westward symbolizes progress and eastward symbolizes regression. Although the sun doesn't move, the way that we experience the sun, the progress of the sun is going westward. And were we to see the sun going easterly, that would symbolize regression. Second key idea was about human regress and progress. The idea that sin causes an individual to regress and on some level, if you will, sends us back in time and back eastwardly, which is symbolized by moving east, giving man a second opportunity to make up that which he did wrong. And the third major idea in this episode was the symbolism of spirituality residing in the West, the idea of Shechina b'Ma'ariv, that God dwells in the West, and that everyone's natural path is a westward march back towards paradise, back towards Gan Eden, and a craving to connect to Hashem. In part two, we'll continue with this idea, and we'll look at the first major transformation in human history on Kayan's part, and the first industrial revolution. Thank you again. Bye-bye.